Hey there, my name is Seth Wires from Channel 9, coming to you from downtown Manhattan at the Stack Overflow offices. I wanted to come here to see if I could invade their space and talk to some of their people. Let's go. Hi there, I am on, what floor is this?
This is the 27th floor.
We are the 27th floor of the Stack Overflow offices. Now, is it Stack Exchange or Stack Overflow? I always get confused.
So it used to be Stack Exchange, or it started as Stack Overflow. It changed to Stack Exchange when they were focusing on the larger network. Mm-hmm. And in the last year or so, we've been focusing on developers and serving developer needs. So we rebranded as Stack Overflow.
Awesome. So again, we're here in New York City. They let me come in, sneak in, and talk to some of the developers that work here. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do, my friend?
I'm David Robinson. I'm a data scientist here at Stack Overflow. I've been here for about a year and a half, and I analyze large data sets at the company to try and help serve our users and the developer community as a whole.
So you guys have a ridiculous amount of data. Why don't you, for those that don't know, that have been living under a rock, why don't you explain what Stack Overflow is, and then give us a sense of the volume of data you're working with.
Stack Overflow is a question and answer website. So it has 12 million questions and all the answers that go with them on a variety of programming topics. So if someone asks, how do I sort a list in Python, it'll have it right there. And when you Google it, that'll be what comes up. So we already have this great data set of questions, answers, when people ask them, and where people ask them. But our data goes a lot deeper than that, because really every developer uses Stack Overflow almost any day that they're working. So we really see, we get 20 million hits a day from around the world of people that are coming to Stack Overflow, visiting a question and getting and finding a solution to their problem.
So you're saying 20 million people a day?
Every weekday, yeah.
That's, And I'm assuming that you're tracking something, like what questions are they looking at, or what's the most important topic today? I mean, like, there's got to be tons of questions that you can answer. Tell us about the process of, like, how you work with this data and what you want to do with this data.
Absolutely. Well, it's really exciting data, and we've been collecting it in traffic logs for more than 5 years. And while the logs were really well kept, the company didn't do much with them until a couple years ago, when we really wanted to start working on the problem of how do you tell what kind of programmer a visitor is? How can you tell a C# and .NET Stack developer from a Python web developer, from an Android developer, from a data scientist like me? And the reason we were interested in that is we wanted to find ways to match them to jobs, to show job ads on Stack Overflow and give them ones that were relevant to them.
And this is an interesting thing, because we had Joel Spolsky on in Redmond a couple of weeks, months ago. I don't remember it. I'll make sure to put the link below. Why don't you describe sort of this jobs initiative? I thought it was probably one of the most creative ways to fund Stack Overflow and also help the developer at the same time. Why don't you describe that for us a little bit?
Absolutely. So it started a long time before I got here, but it was based around the idea that we have the eyeballs and the trust of this enormous developer community. And now that we've gotten them an answer to their question, let's help get them their next job. So we have companies that post job listings on the site, and we help show them to developers that might be interested, and allow developers to apply to those jobs, allow them to put themselves up and represent themselves really well with their developer story, tell what technologies they're expert in and what kind of job they're looking for, and really help connect these companies and these developers.
And that's awesome, because, listen, I get email from recruiters, you might as well, that says, hey, Seth, are you interested in this Ruby stack job? And I'm like, I mean, I guess I could become one, but I'm a .NET guy, I'm a Python guy, I'm a data science guy. Tell us about how you are actually being more prescriptive in what you're showing the devs based upon the data.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the it starts with wanting to know when someone visits the site what kind of developer they are, and think of how many types of developers there are in the world. We ended up getting it down to a list of about 30. It doesn't cover everyone, but it covers some of the major types: an Android developer, an iOS developer, a Java web developer, a C# a .NET Stack developer. And we would consider what technologies would they use. And this is based on a combination of knowledge of the industry and clustering of our data and seeing what types of people visit the site, what technologies are visited together. And from that, we can build a model of once you've visited 20 Android questions and 5 Java questions, you are definitely an Android developer. If you visited a bunch of Python questions, you may be a Python web developer or a data scientist, and we build from there. It's really for every user, we have this we track this profile of all the questions you visited over the last year or two, and we build that all into a system called Providence that can then predict what type of developer you are. This work started before I got here and has been a big part of our strategy of matching developers to jobs.
So there's a couple of questions I have. The first one is, how did you narrow it down to 30? Like, was there some kind of, now you can be as nerdy as you want with me because I've studied some of these models. How did everyone come up with the 30? Like, how did you know that was, because like there's probably tons of nuances and stuff, but how did you come up with those 30?
Well, it's a mixture of modeling and expertise, as I said, and part of it comes to, you can cluster developers who visit the site. So you can use, one example would be a topic model that might take for what types of groups of tags are there that people tend to visit together, and then assign every developer some mixture of those topics and see what kind of lays out. And you can find some really common types like an Android developer, some rarer types like a data scientist that would start to pop out of that. If you start breaking it down farther and farther, it might start becoming more and more sparse, more and more dividing up one developer type. But we also wanted to serve the needs of companies that advertise with us, that are either post job listings with us, so you can also cluster the text and the titles used in job listings that we've had over the last couple of years. So you can tell that three major developer types are a full stack web developer, a front end web developer, a back end web developer. And together those make up, I think, more than half of our job listings are just looking for someone in those types. We also look at general web development ecosystems, and something like 6 of our types are made up of those. The .NET ecosystem, the Python web ecosystem, Ruby on Rails, Node.js, Java, and once you've covered PHP and WordPress stack, and once you've covered those, that covers a lot. We're looking for things that cover a lot of ground of our visitors in a few types.
I see. So if I understand correct, you're doing some clustering on the actual people that come in and visit. And so you know that they fall into this bucket based upon the distributions that you've come up with. And then you do some clustering on the end of the postings, and then you match those clusters somehow.
That's right. Yeah.
How do you do the matching?
For us, it really comes down to experience and understanding of the users. That's where the rest of the data engineering team especially comes in. Jason Punyon, Kevin Montrose, Nick Larson, who have all spent years working with Stack Overflow and have a lot of experience as web developers and engineers, as well as the company as a whole. We have a lot of just understanding of our users. And that would come into understanding from people that have worked on this Java's product for years, what would this user be looking for? If I were this Android user, what kind of job would I be looking for? Do I need to, if I am a Node.js developer, might I be willing to take somewhat slightly different roles? And having an understanding of that. So much of our model is also just built around this understanding. It's not just a system you throw some data into, it spits some recommendations out.
That's amazing. So what other things, we talked about jobs and how you're using data science to suggest a new job, which is, I think, really cool. It's not just an ad, you know, buy this thing. It's here, this can change your life. What other things is a Stack Overflow doing with data that might be of interest to a data scientist or someone that wants to do these kinds of things?
Well, we've had a lot of really interesting work on trends and in the general developer ecosystem. So we look, for example, at what countries are certain languages more popular in. We can look at something like the fact that Python and R, which are popular data science languages, are really popular in the United States. We can look at India, which has been a really exploding developer ecosystem, and how much we can see it's driven by Android. And India really is the capital of the Android development ecosystem. We can and uh, And this is really useful knowledge for ourselves and for business partners that we work with. We have a product called Developer Insights, where we work with companies that are looking to hire or expand their operations and decide where they can go. How many Java developers are there in New York? How many Java developers are there in Washington, D.C.? And they can make business decisions based on that. So we're also looking for, we're also about to start a process where we're building out a content marketing blog aimed at developers about all the interesting trends that we can discover. Examples being what the fastest growing technologies are, what is tomorrow the most exciting technology. We can see things like how Swift, Apple's programming language, has been the single fastest growing programming language in the entire Stack Overflow ecosystem in the last 2 years.
Now this is interesting, right? Because it's not, these are not people putting labels on themselves, like I'm a C# dev and then just doing counting. You're looking at what people are actually looking at as far as getting answers to questions and as far as what questions answers they're looking at. And so these are more descriptive of what's going on. I feel like there's tons of questions that can be answered from the data. And previously, and tell me if this is right or not, Stack Overflow has a place where you can download all this data and look at it. Oh, is that still the case?
Oh, absolutely. And we're really excited about sharing open data. There's a data dump. You can get every single question, answer, comment, and edit history in the last 8 years, that is the entire history of the site, with one click. But beyond that, we also have the Stack Exchange Data Explorer, where you can run SQL queries on an anonymized version of our database. So you don't even have to download everything if you want to investigate. And in the last couple months, we've released a number of curated data sets. So if you want every single Python question in Stack Overflow history, or every single R question, including the full text of it, you can download that as one comma-separated value file from our Kaggle website. So we have this profile on kaggle.com where you can take these and start working with them to do machine learning. We really want to support people that want to analyze our data and learn things from it, especially a question and answer data set. So we'd love for people to take it and find ways to discover trends in the ecosystem or do machine learning on our questions and see how you could spot a good question for a bad one. Academics, we have a list of over 100 academic papers that have been written with Stack Overflow data on topics like psychology and how people learn, how people get better at Stack Overflow, on topics of sociology, how a community grows, on programming language topics. The IEEE programming language rankings use us as one of their inputs for what are the current trending languages. We really believe in that. And we also know that we also have this data, this traffic data that we keep for ourselves, that we have so much data, we're very happy to share it.
And this is, I think, the best part of all. I remember downloading this data years ago, and it was tons of data. And there's tons of stuff that you can do with it. So where can people go to find out more about the stuff you're doing with data science and Stack Overflow? You mentioned a blog. Is it something that's going to start to happen? Tell us about that.
This is our first post we're expecting in a couple of weeks by the end of November. So we're expecting this post will be about what technologies are used on weekends versus weekdays. You can see that very clearly in the data when people are visiting. There are some ones people use at their jobs, 9-to-5s, and there are others people use as hobby languages.
And that's interesting because then you can start to suggest jobs to people for stuff they're really interested in, right? They might not like Android and Java, but they might like Swift or Objective-C, and if they're using Swift and Objective-C on the weekends, you're like, maybe you should do a job in this. This is really awesome. So, where can people go to find out more about you? Do you have a blog that you run?
I do. It's variance-explained.org, and it's a blog where I write about statistics, programming, R, general education, and I've been doing it for about 2 years. This summer, I wrote a blog post about Donald Trump and whether he tweets, when he tweets from his Android, it's himself. When he tweets from the iPhone, it's the campaign.
I think I saw that.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I wrote, and it was and it did an analysis of his language and saw some of the differences. So I'm about to start blogging a bit more on that as well, about some of the statistics challenges we face at Stack Overflow.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We're at the Stack Overflow offices in downtown Manhattan. Am I right?
That's right.
Hey there, my name is Seth Juarez. We're here on the 27th floor of the Stack Overflow offices in downtown Manhattan. I'm here with a special guest. Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do, buddy?
Yeah, I'm David Fullerton, Vice President of Engineering here at Stack Overflow.
Awesome. So Stack Overflow is this really cool place for developers.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see if it was also a really cool place for developers to work. Why don't you tell us a little bit about sort of what it's like to be an engineer at Stack Overflow?
Yeah, so we've got, it's really something we think a lot about. So one of the sort of founding ideas of Stack Overflow was it's by programmers for programmers. And so we really wanted the developer culture of Stack Overflow to kind of infuse the company. So we really, from day one of the things that we believed in was remote work, giving developers the best tools for the job, you know, all sorts of these things. Around sort of treating developers well and creating a really great place for developers to work.
So you're a VP. Tell us about what you want. Like, so let's just say you're like, hey, Seth, we want you to come work with us, and that would be fantastic. But I like what I do too. But you say, Seth, you're working for us now. What would day one look like for me from your perspective?
So day one, it really, so day one, probably you actually don't even work in an office. So 2/3 of our team works remotely from home. So if you're working remotely, day one looks like getting you connected with really the remote culture of the company, getting you in our company chat, getting you connected with your team and your coworkers, and really kind of explaining that culture to you and how to get set up and get into that culture of remote work where you are working with everybody through video calls and chat and doing everything online, kind of visible to the company that way.
So remote work seems like I have a hard time getting stuff done at home. Like if I have my own office and I am sort of set up for that, tell me about what you do at Stack Overflow to make people feel like they're actually here when they don't have to be.
Yeah. So I always say to make remote work, what a lot of companies do wrong with remote work is that they try to sort of tack it on to an office culture. So they'll have an office and then they'll add one or two remote workers. And it doesn't work because where all the action is still in the office and the remote workers are disconnected and they don't know what's going on. So for me, the big shift is getting people to think sort of remote first and doing everything online by default. So I tell even people who start in the office, one of the things I tell them when they start that first week is think of yourself like a remote worker. Don't go to your colleague's door and knock on their door to talk to them. Ping them in chat, talk to them online the same way you would your remote coworkers to try to create that sort of level playing field between everybody on the team.
That's interesting because yeah, generally you're just like, hey, I'm gonna go to the office and talk to Sue who's working on whatever. But you're saying, I want you to feel like if you're here in the office, pretend you're remote.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And so what kind of tools do you use to help sort of foster that?
Yeah, so the biggest one for us is chat. We have our own sort of internal chat that actually we developed as part of the Stack Overflow community. So there's a public version of this that anyone on Stack Overflow can use. We have our own internal version of that we use to talk to each other. And then, of course, we use project management tools like Trello and email, of course, and video call software to talk to each other. And sort of all of those things combined really kind of create this remote-first culture.
That's pretty amazing. Why don't you tell us, since you're the VP of engineering, tell us about sort of the array of different sort of disciplines of engineers that you have at Stack Overflow. Because we talked to a data scientist. What other kinds of sort of engineering disciplines do you have here that you get to manage?
So the team is not as big as some people think when they think of Stack Overflow and how big the site is. The whole engineering team is about 60 people, and that really includes developers, designers, system administrators, which we call site reliability engineers, our data science team. But really the core group of developers is mostly what we just call full stack web developers. And we really have this strong belief that we really want most people to be full stack, most of our team to be full stack developers. So we don't want to create hard lines between sort of, the database people and the front end and the back end teams. So far, we really just have this full stack idea where a single developer can take a feature, you know, all the way from front end to back end to database and sort of do the whole thing all the way through.
What's the reasoning behind that? Because I find that interesting, because usually people will segregate disciplines by you're a front end you're a front end dev. Sue, you're the back end dev. Jim, you're the middleware kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Why do you do it that way?
Yeah, I think that happens as the company grows, and I think it'll probably happen here. So I don't want to say we'll only ever hire full stack people, but what it lets us do when we're small and when we're growing is really keep a product focus and keep a focus on the site. So instead of somebody being like, well, I'm just in this one little area of the back end and I just write services that other teams consume, they think of themselves as building features for Stack Overflow. And so they work and they can really see the whole feature through from start to finish. And so I think that sort of full stack developer working in a team of, you know, other people, designers and product managers, but the keeping the kind of full stack developer gives them a perspective on the whole product as a whole, that when you start to break things up really small, you know, people's area of ownership gets really, really small.
Tell us a little bit about sort of, because you also do have an office, we're obviously here. Tell us about what the culture looks like here, because I mean, we've taken a tour and we've walked around. There's some amazing things that you have here. Yeah. For developers, why don't you tell us about that?
So the office, so like I said, 2/3 of our team works remotely, 1/3 works in the office of the engineering team. We wanted to make sure of the people who work in the office that they're still getting a, you know, sort of best in class work environment. And so we still, even in the office, believe really strongly in developers having private offices, having the best tools for the job, and having things that, you know, sort of, when you walk around, they look like, you know, just amenities, like a startup just throwing around, you know, VC capital. But for us, they're really about creating a productive work environment. So, you know, abstracting away the things that don't matter for you to do your job. So even things like lunches, one of our biggest things is that in the office, we have lunch provided every day. And we actually have in New York our own private chefs who make lunch every day. And people look at that and they think it's crazy, but for when you work here and when you experience that, and other companies do this where they provide lunch, you know, it just takes away a thing you just don't have to think about, and you can focus on work and you can sit down at lunch with your colleagues and, you know, talk about whatever's going on.
That's an interesting approach to getting your workers to be super productive. It's, you literally have thought about what can I remove from their thought process while they're at work to help them work. Are there any other things that you do that goes along that vein?
So, I mean, that speaks to our whole management philosophy, which really started with Joel, which is sort of this hire smart people and get out of their way, or management as a support role. That the idea of management is that, you know, the real work of the company, it's not this command and control managers telling people what to do, it's that the real work of the company are the people on the ground, the developers and the designers and so on, building the things. So management's job is to remove obstacles, remove distractions, remove roadblocks. So, you know, the kinds of things we think about there that I think are becoming a little more standard, but like the equipment that you have available to you. You know, we don't want, if one of the things you notice if you walk around, lots of people have, you know, huge monitors, and this used to be a bigger deal than it was, but, you know, double 30-inch monitors. It's really like, we see that as not like a perk that we're doing to try to attract developers, but it's a way to just remove a problem from you. You know, sure. The I ran out of pixels problem, and now I'm spending time trying to arrange my windows to, you know, fit them all on the screen at once. It's like, just don't even think about that. Just buy a second monitor, get it all there in front of you, and, you know, and stop worrying about that kind of stuff.
I love the phrase, management is a support role.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so that's the idea that that my job as a manager on the team isn't to go around issuing orders. And it isn't even to, you know, to kind of create the, you know, the plans and then other people are just the, you know, the foot soldiers executing on them or something. My job is to create the kind of environment where people and teams can be productive. And so that means putting together the teams, getting the right people in the room and working on the right problems, and then stepping back and getting out of the way. And so that's really this sort of management philosophy you see here, which is sort of, you know, manager, the best managers, the best managed teams are the ones in some ways that I have the least interactions with, you know, where I can just sort of step back and let them run with things.
So why don't you talk a little bit about sort of, if someone's watching this, they're like, hey, I'm really interested in maybe working at Stack Overflow.
Yeah.
Tell us about what that process looks like.
Our hiring process.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because it's a remote hiring process, too. So we actually do the entire thing. We don't bring people in for interviews or anything like that. We do the whole thing online. We set up, you know, video calls. And part of that's, again, to this remote culture thing of we want the interview to be sort of like what it's like working with you.
Yeah.
And what it's like working with you isn't bringing, you know, having meetings in an office. It's having, you know, seeing a video call and a shared screen where we're writing some code kind of thing.
Sure.
So, so that's what we try to emphasize in the hiring process. And what we're looking for in hiring is really, what we call smart and gets things done. We're looking for developers who are smart, who solve interesting problems and work on interesting things, and then who also get things done. And one of the things that we found as we were doing this was that resumes just really don't tell you that much about just a traditional resume where it's sort of bullet points. You really want to dig deeper into that and find out what are the kinds of things you actually worked on. And it kind of came out of that problem that we had, that we just released this new feature called Developer Story, which is our new take on the resume or on the developer profile that really tries to get into, what have you actually built? What are you actually passionate about as a way of telling a fuller story of who a developer is?
I think it's interesting that some of the stuff that you run into, you've actually sort of made features in Stack Overflow. One of them was the jobs one that we've already talked about to some of your other folks. But tell us more about this developer stories, which I think is a really interesting take on what a resume should be.
Yeah, so the developer story is sort of like I was just saying, it's trying to paint a full picture of who you are as a developer. And that includes a lot of things and trying to make sort of room for that range of all the different kinds of developers. So developers who are involved in open source, that should be front and center on your profile. When you tell the story of you as a developer, open source should be front and center. Developers who do public speaking or write books or write blog articles, we want those to be kind of first class parts of your profile, of your developer story, that a traditional resume doesn't really allow.
Is this a feature that people can go to on Stack Overflow right now and start? How does this happen? How do you?
Yeah. So anyone can go on Stack Overflow, sign up, create an account, and you just go to your profile and you start filling it out. It's under Developer Story, and you sort of add things piece by piece like a normal profile. The key difference is sort of the kinds of things that you're adding to your profile. But yeah, this launched just a few weeks ago and is live for everyone now.
Awesome. So to finish up, any call to actions, anything you want to say, you should totally go look at this. We're interested in hiring you. Here's where you go. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I would say go to sign up for stackoverflow.com and start your developer story today. That's definitely the kind of thing that we'll be looking for if you do apply here. But also, it's just a great way to create your professional presence as a developer and find any companies that are sort of looking for a broader range of skills, a broader range of experience than your typical resume presents.
Awesome. By the way, just to finish up, and I know I had the call, but I'm really curious about what's your stack like? That's something that I wanted to make sure to ask you guys.
Yeah, so we've been, our philosophy there, it sort of speaks to our management philosophy a little bit too. It's sort of use the right tool for the job. And for us, that means a sort of hybrid stack, but the core of it is really Microsoft technologies. So SQL Server, Windows, ASP.NET, MVC, C#, is really our core web stack. But then we add onto that lots of other technologies like Redis and Elasticsearch. And one of the things that I think has been so great about Microsoft opening up more and opening more to the open source community has been it's making our lives even easier to integrate all of those technologies, and you have this kind of mix and match stack where you can use the best tool, the best piece of technology for the job, wherever it happens to be.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I know you're super, you have tons of stuff to do. He was kind enough to spend some time with us. Thanks so much for watching. Hello, my friends. Again, we are here at the Stack Overflow offices on the 28th floor. This is the general coffee area where people can come and relax. It's a really nice sort of chill area, and we are literally overlooking the Manhattan and Brooklyn bridges, just right over there. So I'm pretty excited to be here. Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do, my friend?
Sure thing. My name is John Chan. I'm a developer here at Stack Overflow, and I've been here for about 3 years now.
So tell us, what do you do at Stack Overflow? What do you work on?
Sure, so I run a team called the marketing engineering team, and basically what I think about are all the technical problems when it comes to growth for the company, especially both for our customers as well as on the developer side, but I also think a lot about what that would mean for the Stack Overflow brand. So thinking a lot in terms of like what's really interesting, cool stuff that we can do to tell people about the cool features that we have, or thinking about what great content that we have on our blog. That's all the things that I'm thinking about on the engineering side as well.
So you said technical marketing, is technical engineering? Tell me again what it was, because I'm trying to understand. Because you said two words that generally for me don't go together.
Yeah, absolutely. Like for a lot of other companies, you may see that marketing and engineering are in two very different places
yes.
inside of a company. But we're noticing more and more that once you start bringing those two things together, really amazing things can happen. You know, when you think about the Stack Overflow brand and you think about what developers think about Stack Overflow, you know, a lot of people have an immediate reaction to that. So how do we take all that energy and really think about, well, how can we think about building the community with that energy? How can we think about really great content with all the data that we have? That makes for really, really interesting stories and a lot of really great things for the bottom line when it comes to what we want to do as a company for Stack Overflow.
So, do you write code? Mm-hmm. What is it that you do day to day?
Yeah. So, my day to day is, you know, number one, sort of writing code to make sure that the systems that we have with our marketing team are working on a great basis. So, you know, how do we figure out when somebody writes a blog post that may turn into, say, a sales lead, right? And then having that sales lead turn eventually into someone buying something from us, and then hopefully buying something from us again, right? All of that stuff has data all across that sort of stream. And we want to make sure that all the systems that are there are going to be working correctly and can be working really, really well and really performing.
And that's a really cool way of looking at sort of marketing and engineering together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned three things. Why don't you mention those three things that you look for in a workplace and then tell us how Stack Overflow sort of pays that off?
Sure. The three things that I really mentioned before were, one, working with smart people. And, you know, here at Stack Overflow, I get an abundance of that. I have the privilege of working with some of the best developers and really the best people that I can think of in almost every area that I can think of as well, including the marketing team,
sure.
too. The second thing is really around autonomy. One of the big things that we say here at Stack Overflow, and it sort of speaks to our management philosophy that I feel on a regular basis, is that, you know, management is a support role, right? And that we try to hire smart people and get out of their way. Here at Stack Overflow, you know, I have a lot of sort of autonomy, and I created the marketing engineering team here at Stack Overflow, and that's something that I wouldn't have been able to do at many other companies.
So you created the marketing engineering.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. So I was sort of working on marketing projects, things that I found really, really interesting, and that sort of grew out into a sort of more formal discipline here at Stack Overflow. And to finish with the question that you asked earlier, what's the third thing here is really about impact, right? I'd imagine hard-pressed to find many developers that don't know what Stack Overflow is.
Yeah.
And to know that, you know, as a developer here, an engineer here, being able to make changes to that affects millions of people in a way that I wouldn't be able to get in a lot of those places. So on all three of those marks, Stack Overflow really hits the bullet.
I think to speak to your point about you, like if you don't know what Stack Overflow is, you probably have used it on your favorite search engine and you found an answer to your question, because everyone's a search engine dev, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You've probably gone and said, oh, how do I solve this? And you probably ended up on Stack Overflow with an answer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the funny things I say, especially to a lot of programmers that are starting for the very first time or if they're in school, is that you're sort of realizing that programming is like 20% writing code and 80% debugging it a lot of the time. They almost say that, you know, it's almost like walking into a maze in the dark, right? For a lot of people, people think that programming is, oh, you know, I need to know all the answers and I need to know all this stuff and go through the maze and then I'll know what the answer is. But really what you're doing is you're walking inside and you're going to hit a bump when you're programming, regardless of what that is. And you need Stack Overflow to help you guide your way out of that maze. That's what it feels like.
Like every piece of software in the universe probably has some cut and paste code from Stack Overflow. Not gonna lie here. I mean, you probably have some cut and paste code in some of the stuff you've written from Stack Overflow.
Well, I definitely take a look at Stack Overflow a lot. It's probably one of the most bizarre things and probably the most extreme kind of dog fooding I've ever seen at a company, for sure.
That's awesome. So what advice do you have for developers in general that are looking for this kind of environment to work in?
Sure, there's a number of different things to look at. I mean, for one, you know, when I'm looking at, you know, different companies and when we're thinking about, well, what's a really great place to be working at? You know, for me, it was those three things, and figuring out whether or not Stack Overflow had those things was really important to me. And, you know, especially like one of the ways that I talk about this, like remote work, for example. I took a very extreme case here with our remote work policy where I wanted a lot of freedom. to be able to work from home or even do something crazy like travel. Last year, I actually took 3 months where I was working full time and traveling around the world while I was doing that. And, you know, having that in my mind, is there a place that would actually allow me to do that sort of thing? Stack Overflow fits that bill. That's something that was really, really fascinating.
So hold on. I think you said that really fast. Mm-hmm. So you were not here for 3 months, but you worked full time.
Yes, exactly. So we have a really huge remote work culture. 2/3 of our engineering team is actually not in one of our main offices. And basically, you know, when we think about that, when we're default remote, essentially, where people can sort of work from home, what's the difference if you wanted to travel and work at the same time too? What that just means is every time I'm on a video chat, I have a different background behind me, or I'm in a different time zone. That's really what it comes down to.
So where did you go? I'm trying to figure out how you made this work.
Yeah, definitely. So the story here is that I was here for about a year or so. And basically what ended up happening was I was taking a look at how we were doing remote work, and I was thinking, well, I've always wanted to travel around the world, like a lot of people probably want to, maybe after they retire or at some point in their life. And I was thinking, well, could I possibly do this while I was working full time? So what I did was I basically booked 4 one-way flights, one from New York City to Berlin, one from Rome to Hong Kong, one from Taipei to Los Angeles, and then Los Angeles back to New York City. And basically what I did was like, hey guys, I'm gonna be working from these hours while I'm in Europe, these hours while I'm in Asia. It's not too different from when we have developers that are actually in those areas. And I'll keep you posted about how I'm working while I'm out there.
That's pretty impressive. Hmm. How did it work? Did you feel as productive? Did you get the same amount of work done?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's really interesting is because we're based here in New York City, you know, the sweet spot for a lot of our sort of meetings and really sort of synchronous work, right? When you actually need to be sitting down and with other developers, you know, through chat, for example, you know, with other developers sort of virtually, that's a really good sweet spot. And that's 4 hours out of your 8-hour workday, right? In Europe, that's somewhere from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. And in Asia, that's anywhere from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And if you're a night owl, like I am, that's actually okay. And what that means is that I spend 4 hours of my day during the day coding, email, writing documents, things that don't require that I'm working with other people. And then I block out the other 4 hours in that sweet spot to be talking and actually having meetings with other people, marketers, developers, other engineers, et cetera.
That's impressive. I gotta say, and you did. How long were you traveling for?
So I was doing this for 3 months, and I ended up being in 22 different cities over those 3 months, and everywhere from Germany to Spain, France, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and then back in the United States too, and traveling domestically there. And it's not the only time that I've done that too. I'd say in the last year or so, I've done trips like this about 3 times so far. So I'd say about 5 to 6 months out of the last year, that's what I've been doing.
That's awesome. So now let's get a little nerdy. Let's talk about sort of the tools you use and how you actually go about solving a problem. And I want to know like what stacks you use and how you do that. Tell us about that.
So interesting story here is that before I actually came into Stack Overflow, I wasn't using, I was sort of a Python person, Flask, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the technologies that I were using were not the ones that we used here at Stack Overflow. I actually had to pick those things up in my first few weeks when I was here at Stack Overflow. And the stack that we use here is, you know, an amalgamation of a lot of different things, but the core of it is really Microsoft technology, mm-hmm. C#, .NET, SQL Server, et cetera. And what we found is that what's really nice about that is that you sort of don't need to think too much about it. It just works. You know, if I'm gonna be doing something like travel the world and work at the same time, I don't also wanna be fiddling around about why my system isn't doing X, Y, and Z. And being on the Microsoft stack really lets us sort of step away from that. So, you know, I work on a day-to-day basis integrating our sort of core stack with a lot of other technologies that are out there, especially on the marketing side, for example. So that's what I'm doing on a regular basis.
Awesome, and how do you like it?
It's fantastic. You know, like I said before, it wasn't something that I was exposed to very much before I joined Stack Overflow, but I'm definitely a convert now.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Yeah. Love the story about your travel. One day, we're all going to do that. I love this idea of being able to see things and work. And it. Look, when some people say they're working from home, mm-hmm. We know what that means sometimes. Yeah. But you literally said, there's 4 hours of work that I need to do on my own, mm-hmm. and there's 4 hours of work that I need to do with my team, and mm-hmm. you literally map that out in a really cool way.
Yeah.
So kudos to you guys. Again, thanks so much. We're here in their wonderful sort of area. They have some cool games. You can look at the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, and then if they want a coffee, they can also get that too. Thanks so much for watching. We're here at the Stack Overflow offices in downtown Manhattan. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.